Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your temporary host, Rod Zwanitzer, filling in for Annie Bates, back soon after just loving their new baby boy, Andy and Lauren Bates and Oscar Benjamin. Congrats and blessings to mom and blessed child, Oscar Benjamin, and to proud Papa Andy, the true host here of Faith and Family, underwritten by our good friends, Concordia University, Wisconsin. They have a great website that has a virtual tour. You can look over this magnificent campus nestled there by the shores of Lake Michigan. A lot of good stuff going on up there, homecoming for football, and a great conference coming up in their pharmacy school. Lots going on, so check that out. You can go right to their CUW.edu, or you can find that, too, on our website, KFUOAM.org. Look for their logo in the rotating sponsor section. Click on it, and you go right there, too. We'd also like to encourage you this morning, most importantly, to call in and participate on this show, Faith and Family, in the St. Louis greater area, 314-821-0850, worldwide, 800-730-2727, or you can email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. And talk to us about this very important thing, which is campus ministry. You know, I think it's been for a long time, and it's been documented and researched pretty well, that the majority of young Christians fall away from the faith and active church life. Guess when? About 18. And so campus ministry is important for that, but it's important for all those other college students that grace campuses across this land that we're getting an increasing number of international students and students who just never had any contact with the church. And so that's what we're going to talk about during this week of Back to School. And couldn't think of a better person to talk to about campus life and ministry and issues than Pastor Marcus Zill. He's the pastor at St. Lutheran Church in Laramie, Wyoming, of all places, a place that's important in my life. I'm an alum of that great place. Over 7,000 feet rising above the rest of the nation, looking down on us all and blessing us. Marcus Zill, welcome to Faith and Family, Marcus.
Yeah, at 7,220 feet, we kind of look down at everybody up here.
I know it. I remember when I graduated in early June, I had relatives even came from Denver to attend it, and it had a snowstorm. And those of us that grew up in Laramie are like, hey, it's nothing big. You know, it happens. Yeah. So, Marcus, this is an exciting time of the year, I know, for campus pastors and people, because kids are returning, old familiar students, and brand new freshmen and brand new students. So great time for you to get acquainted with them and help them get acquainted even deeper with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. It's great to be with you, Rod, and it's great to talk about campus ministry. Like you said, this is a for every guy and worker out there that's either a campus pastor or those that we have a lot of DCEs and deaconesses and a lot of lay people that commit themselves to helping with campus ministry throughout the Synod, it's kind of Christmas for us. We go from kind of the slow summer months to all of a sudden new faces and old faces descending on our college campuses. It's like Christmas for those of us in campus ministry to see everybody anew and to see some new faces too.
I bet. How important is it, Marcus, before we forget, and we probably should emphasize this, that if some of us have a child or know somebody that might need a call from a campus pastor or one of the students there that's active in the spiritual life at one of our campus centers or a town and gown congregation? I know I'm a member of one of the here in the St. Louis area where we have an outreach to a pretty big university near us, and we try to, make contacts with the kids. That's pretty cool. How important is it that those names and contact be given to, the Synod or people in their area where this contact might be made that let them know, hey, there's some good Christians here that want to invite you to stuff, and if, above all, know that we're here for you if you need us, right?
Well, I mean, this is absolutely crucial. I mean, you mentioned in your little intro there that they start slipping away, you know, about the age of 18. That's actually what I used to think about 15 years ago when I first was a campus pastor. Now I'm convinced that they're starting to slip away way, way long before that. And so the kids are already slipping away before they even get to college in many cases. And so the names are really, really important. You know, in campus ministry, I think I can speak for everybody in campus ministry. The coordinator for the new LCMSU initiative and whatnot, the bottom line is we don't care about numbers, we do care about souls. And so the names are gold because these are precious young people, baptized children of God, and job number one is to try to do everything we can to keep them in the faith. And it goes without saying, we can't do that if we don't know that they're here. And so those of us in campus ministry will do everything we can to track down, find people, but we can't do it if we don't have help from those that that have that information. And so it's just absolutely crucial. You know, campus ministry, one of the things that we try to talk about with LCMSU is it's not just for those between 18 and 22 anymore. We have to start realizing that there are not only different age groups of students. I have some students in their 30s and 40s. But it's a responsibility. Campus ministry is not just the responsibility of those that happen to be in a college town. It's really a responsibility of the whole church. And so we need to partner with every congregation, every parent, every grandma, everywhere, anyone we can possibly find so that we can hopefully allow these young people. I always tell folks I'd rather myself be the first person that they get to meet on campus than anybody else, and that wherever we can do that, where they can get to know those in their campus ministry early, so much the better.
Is there a centralized collection point for that kind of data, Marcus?
Absolutely. Right now, and it's kind of an exciting thing. We just kind of unveiled it this summer. It's called Campus Link. If you go to lcms.org/LCMSU, you will find a map that will show where all of our campus ministry LCMSU locations are. And that's if you go to the congregational locator function on the lcms.org website, you can find a campus ministry feature. And then if you go, wait a minute, there's not a intentional campus ministry where I'm going or where somebody I know is going, there's this thing called Campus Link. You click on that, fill out the information, and that comes to either myself or one of my two coordinators, Jay Winters and Ian Pacey, and we try to link young people up to congregations in the area where they're going to school. So yeah, that's the place to go is lcms.org/LCMSU.
Excellent, and so I know that even if these kids maybe aren't initially excited about a contact from their church body, they do know that somebody out there cares enough about their well-being that made this contact. And so that contact, as you're describing, Marcus, is so vital and important. And what can you tell us a little bit about your experience and what you've heard on other people's outreach to these kids? How do most kids at various ages and that, how do they respond when, a Christian says, hey, you're going through a neat part of your life. We'd like to let you know that we're out there for you.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the gospel itself. It cuts both ways. Some look at you like, what's wrong with you? I don't want anything to do with Jesus. At the same time, you'd be surprised how many young people know. They know that there's something, missing in their life. At the beginning of the school year here, even in Laramie at St. Andrews, we have, I'd say, about a fourth of the people that are involved are not even Lutheran. And so our Lutheran students get a chance at a campus ministry to invite their friends. I've got, I think, three young non-Lutherans going through catechesis at the moment that just started coming here this summer. And so lots of times I think our biggest deficit is that we're kind of afraid to even say, hey, would you like to just come to church with me sometime? And you know, a lot of in this increasingly unchurched society, and in many ways an anti-Christian society, there's a lot of young people out there with big holes in their heart, and they don't know why. And we know that we have the answer for that. And so, as it goes with our Lutheran students, I just want to reiterate how important it is to just let them know that you care. And I know I go out of my way with my college students. I'm, you know, most of them probably think I'm, you know, pretty silly and kind of dorky half the time. But the bottom line is, I will do absolutely anything for them. And I, the last thing, the greatest honor a college student can give me is to borrow a phrase from the political world. When I get that 3 a.m. phone call and somebody dares to think, hey, Pastor Zill said that I could call him, and I decided that I needed someone to talk to. And it didn't, you know, there's no greater honor than that, because I want them to know that when push comes to shove, that that somebody's there for them. And, you know, for all I know, I might be the only person they feel comfortable calling at that time. So I can't reiterate that enough. I mean, we're into campus. Those of us that are into campus ministry, we do it because, for two reasons, we love young people and we love the gospel. And frankly, it's the greatest gig on earth that I get to kind of wed those two things together.
Yeah, and speak to this part of that, Marcus, that at these lives, and I just read an article that I think you had posted on Facebook about some interesting new research, how it was about values and how, you know, a lot of Christian kids going off to college, or probably even as you were describing it at a previous age, high school and even middle school, they have what they think when you first talk to them or they do a survey, that they have Christian values. But then there's this other value in values in their life that kind of get lived out. Because I think today too that from what I understand of what these young people are going through, there's pressures that I never had growing up in high school or college. You know, I thought there was some peer pressure, and I remember working with some high schoolers back at my congregation, Marcus, and they were telling me about some peer pressure, and I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was of that nature and that strong. So there's a lot of good stuff that gospel of Jesus Christ can help. And I like what you're saying there, that, you know, a lot of times people, and especially young people, they know there's a hole somewhere in their soul. And it's probably tough for them to even recognize it and then, tell somebody else about it. And so, you know, if the good people of God can tell kids that and to let them know, hey, there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. A lot of us have been there, done that, you know, and we'd love to just be there for them and chat about them when they're ready.
Well, you know, a lot of times, you're absolutely right. A lot of times these young people, especially if maybe they haven't gone to church before, or they haven't gone much in their life, they think that church is for people that have their act together. And I'm like, man, if that was true, I wouldn't even be a pastor.
Yeah.
I mean, the church is a hospital for sinners. It's a place for, this is why we do what we do, because we don't have our act together, and it's even worse than that. We're damn sinners in need of God's grace. And so, you know, one of the things that I've found increasingly so, you know, the colleges are a place that they're the incubator of ideas, both good and bad. I think we've become way too timid in the academic square. We've kind of surrendered it over to the secular progressive mindset of our age, and it's affecting our young people. You know, the issues like, the whole homosexual marriage, abortion, life issues, family issues. I guarantee you, at secular U, they're not being taught what it means to be a godly father or a mother.
Yeah.
There's insane pressure for them to not be seen as being intolerant. And it has left the church being a little bit timid. Well, I tend to be the type, I think that in this age of campus ministry and what's at stake, that it's no longer time to be timid. We got the greatest message there is.
Amen. Amen to all that. Hey, Marcus, guess what? We have a caller that wants to ask you a question. Monica, listening in Southern Illinois, has a question for Pastor Marcus.
Pastor Bill, this is Monica from Higher Things. You remember me?
Monica Shannon.
Yes.
Wow. Congratulations. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, just was great to hear your voice. Just talking to my husband, Dennis. He has been on the campus at Southwestern Illinois College. He's an economics prof for 39 years. Believe it or not, he won't retire. And he is the faculty advisor for the last year and then again this year for our commuter campus, community college. And today is the kickoff for their meeting. This is a situation where we have to get a minimum of so many signatures so that they can meet as a group. All the paperwork's been done, but you have to have X amount of students come past your little booth and sign on and say, yeah, we think you're worthy of being part of this, all the different groups that are on campus. So for those who are listening, we'd really appreciate your prayers today that we could get the number of people we need to just sign on the line. And then they'll be meeting on Thursdays. And it's there's extreme challenges doing this on a commuter campus, as you can probably imagine, because no one lives there. And when these kids get done, they're beating feet off campus. They're going to jobs. And so last year was a challenge, and I think it's going to be a challenge this year. But I think they got a little traction. And for my husband, I'm calling, because as a professor, he has to present these groups in his classroom as all the groups are available. You know, there's a bunch of groups you can join, and then he kind of goes around looking for kids that he thinks is an obvious choice and then tries to get their friends to come. So do you have any pointers for him?
Now, he's the advisor for the group?
Yeah, he's the advisor. We have an intern deaconess who we had one last year and a new one this year for the Southern Illinois District. That's representing about 20 churches. She has a.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's Caitlin.
Caitlin,
if I'm not mistaken, we have 155 LCMSU chapters. I think the one at Southwestern Illinois College might be the only one that's solely for a community college. And that is, let me just say up front, that's awesome because one of the frontiers in campus ministry is community colleges. Because frankly, you know, more than half of our college students are going to community colleges.
The more
the economy tanks, the more that's going to be the case too. And I think the bottom line is he has to be sensitive to the fact that he's a professor and he's a teacher and he has some influence. He needs to do what he's doing and promote all of them. And on the side and trust that people will come, you know, that are interested in the Lutheran one that you have.
Right.
One of the things that I think is important, and, you know, in terms of student groups on campus, the things that we try to do on campus, I love it when non-Lutherans come all the time because really that's a chance for us, for them to actually be exposed to some good theology. We're trying to start actually it's going to be kind of a reading and thinking club, kind of a mere Christianity kind of a club on campus.
I'd like to sign up for that one.
Just because the whole point is that there's a lot that we have to offer that's attractive to, there's a lot of skeptics that would be interested. You know, I say let everybody come, if those that believe in Christ and those that don't, and let them hear the truth and expound it together. And we have a lot to challenge people that are skeptics and are kind of living around the margins. And I tend to think that the best that we can do with groups like this, the better topics that they have, the more open they are to having topics that don't immediately, you know. The first topic on campus shouldn't be, you know, the role of private confession and absolution in the Lutheran Church for a college student.
For sure. Well,
not a wonderful topic. It's not going to be like the entryway to attract.
Correct.
And
I'm putting myself out there saying this. I'm almost wondering if, I'm not ashamed, I'm proud to be in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the best of ways, but I am concerned, just me speaking, are we making a mistake calling it the Lutheran Student Fellowship? I don't know if that's automatically shutting down people who would come. Not because we're ashamed of it, because we're afraid that, you know, we're not Lutherans. We did have a lot of Calvinists last year in this class. non-believers, I'm not so sure of. Hey, I don't want to take up your time, but I'm asking for those people out there who are listening today for prayers that we just they get through the signature process of this so that it can be an official group on campus and meet and get a classroom to meet in and all the things that the other groups get and get this thing off and running for Jesus. And Marcus, it's always great talking to you. And
oh,
from
thanks.
You.
It's great to hear from you. God bless
Jesus
your efforts.
Christ be with you. Bye.
Take care.
Thanks for listening, Monica, and thanks for calling in. And our prayers will and do go out for Monica and her husband, Dennis, and those fine people there at that community college sounds like Southwest Illinois, Marcus.
Yeah.
And I love what
I've been over there. I've walked around on the campus with mm-hmm. them. Great folks trying to, you know, it's one of the things that everybody needs to realize, and I challenge anybody at every congregation, every congregation has to ask themselves, hey, who is our neighbor? And if you've got even a community college nearby, you know, the thing that you do, and community colleges are different, but lots of times these young people, they may be living at home, they may not be staying there in the evenings, so you don't do stuff in the evenings. What you do is you go hang out there during the day, and you have many of them are trapped. Some of the community colleges have the best student unions because kids go there and they have a 10 o'clock class, and they don't have one until 3 o'clock, and then they got nothing to do.
Yeah.
And they don't feel like driving home. And so you need to kind of make a day of it and spend time on campus during the day. And it's amazing how many young people will come up and talk to you just because you're a pastor, you're wearing a collar, you have a table, you can raise a question, you know, have a question on your table, ask me about Jesus, or does God exist?
Yeah.
Or, you know, we need to find these ways to kind of challenge the thinking of our age and draw people to
I like I like where you're going with that, Marcus, because, you know, what I did, because I read this book about this guy that did it, that he started talking to these kids at coffee houses. And, you know, he wrote a neat book about it called, they love Jesus, but they hate the church. So he would take his laptop and go to these coffee places and just sit there and work. And after a while, the staff and the people found out this guy's a pastor, and they would come over and talk, and he would talk to them. And even more so, how neat would it be for pastors and people to do that in these, gathering places at these community and other colleges, unions and that, and hang out, wear your collar, put up a sign, said, you know, hey, we can talk about, does God exist? Love whatever you want to go. Let's chat about it, you know?
No, that's absolutely. I mean, that's great stuff. And, you know, one of the things I would do if I had a community college nearby is I'd get out of the office and go spend a couple, 3 hours on campus, and everybody would know there that, you know, hey, he views his office being wherever we're at. Half the time you stay in your office, you know, you're on the phone half the time or checking Facebook. Might as well be somewhere else where people can find you. But, we just started a Theology on Tap kind of a thing. On Monday afternoons, we go to a local kind of a hipster pub. And we were there the other day, about 7 or 8 of the students. And we were having a beer and talking theology, of course, for those who were of age. And I went up to the counter, and this guy was like, wait, you know, you're a pastor? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, well, I view this tavern as my church. And, you know, I had a chance to say, hey, why don't you come talk to us about Jesus since you're in church? Let's talk.
Neat.
And I mean, these community gathering places are important. And the thing is, in campus ministry, you got to be on campus.
Yeah.
Now, it's wonderful to have a church. And trust me, young people want church. They're looking for home away from home. They need church. But you're not necessarily at a disadvantage just because you don't have a church that's near a campus or a campus ministry like the one that I'm privileged to serve. It doesn't matter who you are or how far you're away from campus. You have to kind of create the presence on campus that says we're here, we have something to say, and we care. And then hopefully those opportunities are there and you can draw people off campus towards your church.
That music you hear coming up tells us we have a break. Stick with us. We're talking with Pastor Marcus Zill and campus ministry in our Back to School Week. Stick with us.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Andy and Sarah Justice are like many Christian couples. Their heart's desire is to have children. The reproductive technology was beyond their budget, so they contacted a pro-life women help center. There, they were linked with a pregnant woman who chose them. During a routine ultrasound appointment, it was discovered the woman was expecting triplets. So Andy and Sarah became the happy parents of two girls and a boy, Joel, Hannah, and Elizabeth. But that's not the end of the story. Just 1 week after the triplets were born, Sarah found out she was pregnant with twins. The couple couldn't be happier. But when they have five babies to care for, they'll have their hands full and then some. So let's pray God will supply all their needs, including extra hands to help. He has a special plan for each of them.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, the president of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Did you know it only takes a few words or a kind gesture to lift up someone in need of hearing the gospel? You can help LCMS Ministries concentrate on doing more and reaching more. With the Lutheran Church Extension Fund investment, you empower ministries with loans and resources that keep the mission moving forward. Investments directly benefit LCMS schools, congregations, care centers, universities, and international ministries. Visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233.
As you endure another 8 hours in your cubicle, you dream about something more. A job that gives back. A way to impact your community. Something you actually care about. Good thing you're listening. There's someone looking for you. Thrivent Financial for Lutherans is a unique faith-based Fortune 500 company that specializes in providing financial services that make a difference, and they'd like you to join their family. Thrivent Financial is looking for financial representatives to enhance the lives of their clients. As a financial representative, you'll have more than a job. You'll have a career that you can be proud of. Thrivent Financial offers excellent earning potential, a flexible schedule, as well as healthcare options, a 401k, and other benefits. For information, call 314-783-4200. That's 314-783-4200. Escape your cubicle. Discover what it's like to work with purpose at Thrivent Financial. Go to thrivent.com.
A federal judge has dismissed a lawsuit seeking removal of the words "In God We Trust" from U.S. coins and currency. Atheist groups and individuals argued the national motto conveys a religious message that violates separation of church and state. Annie Laurie Gaylor of the Freedom From Religion Foundation says,
"The injury is substantial to us and to our members. It's really relegated nonbelievers into being second-class citizens."
Jay Sekulow, chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, says his organization represents 41 members of Congress who believe
our national motto, "In God We Trust," as well as other recognitions of the religious heritage of the country, are completely consistent with who we are. It's just a reflection of our heritage. It's not the endorsement of a particular religion.
In dismissing the case, Judge Harold Baer Jr. wrote that federal courts have found no constitutional violation in the motto's inclusion on currency. Gaylor says the plaintiffs will appeal. I'm Steve Coleman.
We're back with you here on Faith and Family, the show that dares to talk about two of the most important foundational things of our life, a family and faith. And more people are starting to realize that when both of those crumble, it kind of makes for a not a very good culture and society. People, even if some of them won't, you know, admit it right away, they're in denial. It can lead to really despair, and so we're chatting in this back to school week today about the importance of just being there to talk about hope and comfort and intellectual ideas and questions. in the hopes that we might, you know, expose them to the truth, the life, the way, Jesus. And to do that, we've got a great guest on today, Pastor Marcus Zill, and you can talk with him as Monica in Southern Illinois did by calling in 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area, or 800-730-2727 for the rest of you out there, or you can email us at KFUO at KFUO.org. Love to hear from you. Marcus, we were talking some good things here, and you know, it's so exciting, I should say, for a lot of us to realize that there is a growing consensus and real intentional effort and desire in our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to have a strong intentional presence for these campus people of all kinds of ages and all over the country. And so it's neat to see this LCMSU coming together, Marcus. Tell the listeners out there, for those who maybe haven't heard about it, and for the rest of us that have, what is it? Where are you going with this, and how can people get involved?
Oh, man, boy, there's a...
How about that for just a half hour, huh?
You know, that's a question that... real quick, you know, yeah, it is thrilling. Those of us in campus ministry have been laboring long and hard for many years, and there was a time where the church, we weren't actually within the new structure and what in the old structure for the last decade or so. And what happened was one of the wonderful consequences of President Harrison's administration being asked two conventions ago now to redo the structure of the Synod was the fact that not only did they move some of the board pieces around, but some of us went and told them, hey, you know, there's some board pieces missing. And so we're always concerned that it seems like, you know, we're losing our young people and losing members and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, obviously we in campus ministry are kind of sitting there going, hey, you know, this is a chance for us to get back into the game. And, you know, I want to say up front that LCMSU, we don't really do campus ministry. You know, campus ministry takes place where there's pastors and congregations and lay people and DCEs and deaconesses, and God love them, a lot of wonderful lay people like Monica's husband who had called in, and this deaconess intern, and all these people just taking an interest in their young people. And so that's where the real ministry has taken place locally. But what we're happy to do with LCMSU is to provide kind of a new method and mechanism to support that in the Synod, to make sure that when you go to the Synod's website, you can find what's going on. You can see where our campus ministries are. You can get in touch with people that are doing it. And in the future, I mean, there's a lot of things that we hope to do. We hope to, Rod, as we've talked about before, maybe develop some programming that we could on the radio to be able to have programs not only for those working, you know, programmatic content for those that are working with campus ministry, but also kind of some serious apologetics, which are really, really front and center on our college campuses. God willing, in the future, we're going to have resources that are going to be available in print. I know there's a great little college student devotional from CPH called Blessings and Prayers for College Students that's on sale right now. It's 50% off if you buy five or more. It's a great little book to get into the hands of college students, and we're hoping to kind of do a second printing of that and make those kinds of things, as well as tracts and push cards that people can use on campus that they can hand out. All sorts of various things that we're looking at. Of course, we also had the Unwrap conference this last January, which was kind of where we kicked this whole thing off and unveiled the logo for LCMSU. And so we're looking forward to having another conference in, I guess, now about 16 months or so. And that'll start happening every single year. And one of the things that we're, you know, some of the topics that we're wanting to address are things like faith and family, you know, marriage. Oh my gosh, talk about something that's under attack. Life issues, these are things that are on the forefront where our college kids are, and they're not going to hear about it in the classroom from a Christian perspective, much less a Lutheran perspective. And one of the things that we're also interested in is topics that have to do with, like, the first Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. What does it mean to be a Christian and live in a place on a college campus which are notorious for having protests and having activism? What does it mean to be a confessing Christian living out your vocation in light of the First Amendment? And so there's a lot of really exciting things that we're looking forward to doing. Of course, our goal with LCMSU is to provide the support mechanisms, and in many ways, and I got to give credit to my boss, Bart Day, in the Office of National Mission, and President Harrison himself, who's been championing this quite a bit, the Synod is once again becoming a mouth house for this kind of activity. And, you know, those of us in campus ministry, we're going to do campus ministry because it's what makes us tick. But it is so absolutely wonderful to have the support structurally and otherwise from our church, just to know that the church is there for us and is supporting us. And the more that happens, the more we're just all that much more emboldened to do what we are seeking to do, which is to care for all these precious souls on our campus, those that are Lutheran and those that aren't.
It is exciting, and I mean, to me, it's just motivating that, you know, you hear, as you were describing it, Marcus, that so many different entities within the church body that we're blessed to be in have seen that maybe we let this fade a little bit in the background, and now we're going to bring it back in the forefront, and people are really getting excited and into it. And so, you know, for those out there that don't have much going on in their area, look around, at what's going on in your community or nearby with college. You know, at the community level, or junior college, or a university, or any of those around, and start to pray to God how you can get involved, and look into LCMSU and see what others are doing, and it's neat when you start to network like that, and ask God how you can get involved. You know, I was so inspired attending your Unwrapped conference, Marcus, you should know. I just went around with one of our other journalists, and we just talked to campus pastors and, more importantly, some of the college kids there. And what I asked them was, hey, what are you interested in? What would you like to hear Worldwide KFU do a program on? And boy, they just were more than ready to tell me. And I learned so much. And one of the things, you know, that I was so blessed with is that intellectually they're pretty bright. And they have a lot of questions and searching for answers. And as you say, in most of their, you know, educational life, they only get one side of that. And that's a nice side for them to have. But we need to provide them with that other side, some other things to think about on topics like you were saying, on marriage, on sex, on the environment, on and on we can go. And so that's exciting. You know, we got Pastor D'Onofrio starting on Monday morning here, Marcus, and we're raring to go and already talking to him. He's in town about doing something here on the radio station for this segment and make it count. And so it's exciting that we're all, saying, hey, these are part of the body of Christ. And we want to take the good news out to all these people, and we don't have to take a back seat really at all intellectually or any of these other areas. And so, for those of you that are out there in the trenches like you, Marcus, we just love it, and we want to do what it takes. So we've talked about some things that parents, pastors, radio stations, publications, deaconesses, all these other things that can do. Any other thoughts of what parents and pastors? I'll even throw this one out there because I was so excited, Marcus, when Pastor Jay Winters gave this little talk about how he had started this effort to have graduating students of his kind of stay on campus for a while, kind of like the Mormons do, you know, on a mission. And so I didn't know this was going on. I went up to talk to him and said, you know, I'm going to be retiring here real quickly. Can an old gray-haired man do something like this? And you know, he looked at me as Jay can now, and I really love talking to Jay. And he said, "Are we talking about you?" And I go, "It's kind of obvious, wasn't it?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "He said absolutely, absolutely." You know, the great ties between young people and old gray hairs like you. And
well,
and
I'm thinking that we tend to, you know, and Jay is great. Jay's one of our assistant coordinators, along with Ian Pacey down in Tucson, Arizona, and Jay's down in Tallahassee, Florida. Lots of great people to work with as we're building this network. And but you know, the network can be made up of all types. I mean,
absolutely.
Anybody, if you love the gospel and love young people, there's no age limits on that.
Yeah.
And in fact, many young people, you know, when they go off to college, they're actually missing kind of the gray-haired folks that they didn't know that they were going to miss when they went off to school.
Yeah.
Because they're missing home. And you know, sometimes I think we have so segregated the church down into all these different little demographic groups for this, that, and the other thing. And I guarantee you, every young person will tell you, look, they don't care about any of that. They like to see other people their age. But you know what? When they're in college, everybody they see is their age. And so they just want to be church. They just want to be, they want to see the church. They want to be the church. They want to, they're having their moorings and their anchors kind of ripped up around them, and issues of freedom and transitions and independence. And they want to feel like they're home. And church is home, and it's where the baptized children of God need to be. And, you know, I wanted to just dovetail on what you're saying about the ideas that these young people have. I mean, colleges are an incubator of ideas, and our young people are incredibly talented. And many times what we do is we don't get them involved in the life of the church early enough. Not only do we end up seeing them slip away a little bit, but they've got all these great ideas and this forward thinking, and we don't have a way to kind of, you know, anything a congregation can do to get young people involved, even I'd say immediately after confirmation. You know, we kind of use our kids for acolyte purposes, and then we say, hey, come back in 15 years, and then maybe you can get involved in the life of the church. I say get them involved immediately.
Yeah.
They have an awful lot to offer, and young people love to serve. And we need to find ways for them to serve. They also know that they have a lot to learn. You know, one of the things we have to remember is that college students, it's still their vocation to be a student. But, man, the questions that I get, you know, lots of times I have to say, you know what, I need to brush up on that, and then I'll get back to you. Because truth is, most of the classes that they're taking are things that I don't know a lot about. Which is why I'd also love if there's faculty out there, professors, we need to raise up a generation of Lutheran confessing faculty members that are willing to work with their college students and actually engage everybody, all students and other professors on campus too. But if I could, because I know time is getting short, there's a couple things I want to really try to impress upon, especially at this time of the year, on our parents and pastors and others. You know, when young people go off to school, they're homesick, they need reminders from home, phone calls from their pastor, emails, chocolate chip cookies and care packages are still a winner. That is never going to go out of style. But more than anything, the best thing that parents and others can do, and I'll say this until the day I die, is don't assume anything. Go to college, go to the football game, stick around on Sunday, and go to church with a college student, even if they're not your own kid.
Yeah.
Somebody you know from church, go visit them, because many times they feel awkward because they've never gone to a different church. And, of course, the habits that they make the first month of their entire collegiate experience are so very crucial. And to be able to have the comfortability of, instead of sitting at home after you get home from church and then going, hey, junior, did you go to church? Why not skip your church for that weekend and go take a college student, especially if it's your own kid, take them to church wherever they are and help them feel comfortable. I just can't impress upon people enough how important those reminders of home and actually going there and going with them to church really is. Because, you know, when I went to college, I think I went to church 3 times. Part of the reason why I'm a campus pastor is because I'm so grateful that I remained in the faith. And if I had somebody that would have actually gone with me, I think it would have gone a long way.
Or, you know, if you see a kid that's a college age, introduce yourself and then say, hey, you want to get lunch together or have a cup of coffee, something like that. Because I know when you're college age, you desire that kind of stuff, too. A little respite from college kids and eat a good meal somewhere other than in the dorm or cooking it in your own apartment. So that's a good way to get to know people.
And if I could add, you know, I wish I didn't have to say this, but in the last couple, 3 years, I've lost a young person to Islam that was a Lutheran student, and I recently just lost one to the Mormons. And these were kids that were coming to stuff. And so it's a volatile age, mm-hmm. and they're being confronted with the ideas of this age. And you show up to college, you're young, you're vulnerable, you're impressionable. You want to believe that everything is as it appears. And if we don't get them connected early on, other people are out there, and many of them will be preying on them. And I don't mean by P-R-A-Y, I mean P-R-E-Y. And so it's very, very crucial. It breaks my heart. I have, you know, on a personal level, this last week has been one of the hardest in my ministry, because I'm so filled with tears and so filled with righteous anger that people would prey on others that are so at such a vulnerable age. You know, those of us that, you know, like we started off saying, you know, this isn't about numbers. It isn't about, you know, we don't do campus ministry because it's making money for the church or any of these types of things. It's about souls. And so on behalf of all of us that are out there in campus ministry, whether it's a big full-time campus ministry like I'm privileged to serve, or just a layperson trying to reach out to kids on campus, you know, this is what we're about. It's about caring for these young people at such an impressionable and volatile time in their life. We want to keep our young people that are in the faith in the faith, and then there's so many opportunities to reach out to those who are skeptics, those who don't believe, as well as the, you know, many, many international students and others that God is bringing to our college campuses. And so it's the last place, it's the last kind of an arena that we need to abandon.
Yeah, and so lots of places, lots of ways to engage out there for our listeners, and lots of places, too, to have your people that are off the campus this year to get an opportunity to get connected. And so that's what it's all about. And yeah, that's really difficult, Marcus, what you're talking about, because it's almost like that they're predators, and they realize that these are like watering holes where, you know, young life is in abundance. And so these predatory groups just are smart, and they strategically place a lot of assets there. And, you know, we're certainly not predatory, but we should have an aggressive presence there. And,
well, having an aggressive presence and preying on young people when they're, you know, when they're confronted with so many things in their life. I mean, I always tell people that young people, you know, they really want two things from their church. They want to know the truth, and they want to know, do you care about them? Now, one of the things that I think we're often timid about is taking the truth to the world. You know, when we sit back, and everybody out there that remembers watching President Harrison in front of the committees and congressional hearings and whatnot with the HHS mandate and all those types of things, I mean, what a shot on the arm to say, you know, yeah, we do have a message to take to the world. We do have something to say. So often we think of the separation of church and state thing means that maybe we should just kind of, you know, stay away from engaging the world. Well, there's no greater place to engage the world than on our college campuses. And you know what? The college campuses embrace it. There's colleges where they set up little stumps just so people can get on them, like soapboxes, and address people that are walking by. The college campuses are a place where truth is allowed to coexist with the craziness of the secular progressive postmodernism that's there. And many times it's under attack, but it's still there. And our young people, they need to see us out there fighting for the truth. But more than anything, they need to know that we care. And if we can combine kind of an an authentic witness to the faith, it is very, very, very exhilarating and exciting for young people, and they want to be a part of it. Because I guarantee you, there's a lot of them that are searching for the truth. And guess what? We just happen to have it. How cool is that?
It's very cool. You know, and I was thinking here as you were talking, Marcus, that, you know, if the Missouri Synod has one thing, and we have it in abundance, it is the truth. And now, as Pastor Harrison says, almost a tectonic shift worldwide, that so many Lutherans in faraway places in Asia, in Latin America, and Africa are coming to us because they know we have this unbelievable truth in our theology. And sometimes, though, we don't go out with that in this caring way that you're talking about. So it's important that we show both of those. And you know, you can't get any better than those two for people of any age, but especially these younger minds that are maybe for the first time have the freedom of being away from family, church, pastor, all those influences, and they're getting bombarded with all these other ideas. And as you say, usually an open place where we can contend for the truth. And, you know, biblically, we're even encouraged to do that, contend for the truth. And so we need to put our heads together and do the part that we can to not only support you people that are out there in the front lines, but also, to say, hey, we can get in the trenches too. As a church body and even as local people of God. And so many ways, so many opportunities to do that. And again, let's encourage the people, Marcus, they can check all this out and make contact at LCMSU and just search for that, LCMSU, and you'll find the way to it. And it's just wonderful that we are, talking about this now. I've never seen this emphasis before like this in my lifetime, in the Lutheran Church. It's just wonderful, and the sky's the limit. So we're going to be right with you, side by side, pushing it, Marcus, praying for you, and getting involved ourselves. So that's our encouragement out there. You know that we don't just need you to send a check. We need you to get actively involved, you and your congregation. Because there's got to be so many ways locally that you can do that.
Well, and if I could just add, Rod, thank you to you and everything you're doing there with KFUO. It's just wonderful to see, and Andy's doing a great job with the Faith and Family program. Even decided to have a baby to complement the fact.
Church growth at its best, right?
But, let it be a reminder to everybody that, like I said, campus ministry is a responsibility of the entire church, and the best way, the best thing that you can do for your young people is to continue to increase the support for family life and for moms and dads to spend time with their kids, our schools, everything that we do along the way to teach our young people, to keep them in the faith, to nurture our families, does pay dividends when those young people start showing up on our campuses. And so thank you to everyone out there that takes this faith and family stuff as seriously as they do.
That's great. And I was just going to add that it's interesting that at our little congregation, the pastor has asked a few of us to teach. And so I thought, get something for the young people too, because we have a little collegiate group there. And so I picked a topic from one of my favorite authors, Intellectuals Don't Need God and Other Myths. And that's what we're going to talk about. So people can do that all over this great country. Campus Ministries, we thank you, Pastor Marcus Zill, for all you do for the Lord there at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Laramie. We'll look forward to working with you soon and get this LCMSU up and running even more.
Thanks, Rod.
Go Cowboys, too, up there. Join us tomorrow when we talk with Professor Ben Freudenberg on the topic of managing extracurricular activities in your back-to-school family. Join us then tomorrow here on Faith and Family.